This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today and welcome you into the Retirement Room with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist from Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. MatthewJames.com is the website. Find more about John and the team. You can also schedule a time to come in and visit with them. 366-8366. If you have questions about things we talk about this week on the show or just questions about your retirement in general and want to know more about it, that's the number 366-8366. Today on the show, are you 5 years away from retirement? Then don't miss this checklist. We'll talk about the advantages of working with a financial advisor and how do you fill the income gap if you take Social Security early. All this and more. But first, let me check in with the man himself. John, I'm glad to be with you as always. How are you, sir?
Oh, look, same here, Chris, man. It's another, you know, another great weekend. A lot of things going on. A lot of ball. Actually, this afternoon, I'm making a hike up. Go watch a race out of town. Me and a couple of the kids, so that'll be fun. But, you know, there's always sports going on. Last weekend there was sports. I mean, every weekend there's always sports. We got a lot of different tournament balls and all-stars and all kind of good stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, as always, to spend with the listeners. Let's go ahead and dive into this. You know, thanks to the Trump tax cuts passed in 2017, we are enjoying arguably the lowest tax rates we will ever see in our lifetime. The downside to that is that those are going to expire at the end of next year if Congress does nothing about it. We know how quick Congress is to do anything. Tax expert Ed Slott tells Morningstar, now is an opportune time for that IRA to Roth conversion.
Remember, a lot of your IRA is a debt owed back to the government. Your IRA is an IOU to the IRS. Your IRA is a joint account with Uncle Sam. But here's the difference. With a regular joint account, you generally own half. You have a joint account with Uncle Sam where you don't know what his half will be. That's yet to be determined based on how much money the government needs at the time you take that money out. Now you do know what the rates are. You're in control.
Whether you think about it or whether you realize it or not, the IRS is a silent partner in your retirement accounts, and at some point they will cease to be silent and you know, demand that they get whatever theirs is. What do you think? Do you agree that right now is the right time for a Roth conversion?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, since the Trump tax cuts came into effect, that's something that we've been taking advantage of for our clients. Shifting assets over from tax-deferred accounts to tax-free accounts is ideal. And the thing is, we got to look at which ways we want to do them. We want to max out the bracket that you're in. Maybe we might be doing some bracket bumping depending on your scenario. We got to look at, you know, a lot of different things. But ideally is, you know, how much money do you have in tax-deferred accounts? When you have a heavy seven-figure number in tax-deferred accounts, you have to be more aggressive. Now, what we do is we also utilize tax planning strategies where we can do certain donations, or we can do other types of investments. Like, to give you an example, we have somebody that we're helping out. Just one simple example. I mean, we have lots of stories like this, a lot of scenarios where the couple itself makes about 120. There's their normal AGI each and every year. Well, but they also have a sizable a community property account, a joint tenants in common account. But they have a low six figure. It's a seven-figure account with a low six-figure capital gain. So the thing is, like, we can look at using those assets, reposition them, and then by making it an investment, and so we can use the intangible drilling cost deduction, move over a portion of money into that account, and we get a 92% deduction on against their AGI of that investment that we make. So that allows us, they get to, you know, they're gonna show about $120,000 of AGI income for 2024, but then we're gonna realize about $140,000 long-term capital gain roughly, and then we're gonna make it an investment, and then by making that investment, it allows us to move over $400,000 out of their traditional IRA over to their Roth, and they pay 0% federal and state tax on the Roth conversion of $400,000, on the $130,000 long-term capital gains, and the $120,000 of AGI that they had before we realized those other two income streams. So we got to look at different tax strategies that we can move over. Don't just take it, you know, it's not just taking advantage of the Trump tax cuts and paying the tax. It's also looking at, okay, do you have other assets sitting on the sideline that we can reappropriate, we can use for planning and future income purposes, and then use that money to build up deductions, make deductions happen, and top line, bottom line deductions. And, we, you know, if you're a business owner, it makes it even better. And so we utilize different strategies to shift these assets over. And the more assets that we can shift over without you paying taxes, obviously the better. But even if you have to pay some, it's still cheaper to do so now, this year and next year, because in 2026, we get the new tax code back. Now, we also need to find out who's going to, win the election. Hopefully they finalize it in November. But sure. Ideally, we want to figure out, okay, what happens there? And then that's going to give us the framework of, okay, is this Trump tax cuts are going to stay into effect past 2025, or is it going to be a hard stop on December 31st? So either way, we have to plan on a hard stop and then plan on using other advanced strategies to move these assets and shift them over from your traditional IRA to your Roth.
And if the tax cuts do go into, or do they do get extended past 2025, into 2026, and who knows how long. That's fantastic. That gives you more time to do this and take advantage of these tax rates as they stand right now. But it is better to go ahead and knowing that what they are right now, go ahead and take advantage of that. That is something that the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, it's right there in the name after all, can help you with. And to get started, figure out how to make sure you get to keep as much of your hard-earned money as possible, whether it's through Roth conversions or any number of proper tax planning strategies. Pick up the phone and give a call. Schedule a time to speak with them, 366-8366. Or you can go to the website, as I said earlier, MatthewJames.com. Stocks that pay dividends are one way to create income, but some of the highest performing stocks in the tech sector, well, they haven't paid dividends until now. Meta, the owners of Facebook and Instagram, among other things, say it's going to begin paying quarterly dividends to make its stock more attractive. John, do you guys include dividend stocks as a way to generate income in a portfolio?
I mean, these different portfolios come with different risk tolerances. So we have to look at, what is the client looking for? What do they need? And then from there, build a strategy that's focused on income. So the ideal thing is that we can use different types of investments. Think of it as, like a V8 engine. Not all eight cylinders are firing at the same time. Mm-hmm. So ideally, let's say if we have, a portfolio that produces dividend income. Let's say we have another portfolio that produces interest income. Let's say if we have another portfolio that you're getting, it could be a money market account. You're paying it's paying roughly around 5.25% right now. And I expect that to go down in the future. Could be, let's say if it is was five. Let's say if it's 4.75%. And then so that gets paid on a monthly basis. That's an income stream. Maybe you're looking at, you could have a portfolio of rental properties where you're getting rental income. Let's say you have short-term rentals, which, if you set up something that has less than 7 days as a rental time period, those short-term rentals become very lucrative from a tax environment. So we got to look at all the different things that you can do on how you can get interest, how you can get income, spendable income, but also it's like how to keep and preserve your principal of your portfolio and even grow it and get the income at the same time. So ideally, what we're trying to do is look at the right fitment depending on what your needs are and what your risk tolerance is to give you what you need. So whenever you're ready to retire, you want to use your assets to pay you. A lot of people think their personal home is an asset. Well, it's not paying you. It's an asset for the bank, yeah, but it's not an asset for you. Now, if you buy a rental home, yes, that's an asset for you because you're getting an income stream from it. Like if you have an asset that's like an investment, like buying a piece of land that you have no cattle on it, that there's no crops on it, it's just a bare piece of land, that's not going to produce you income. You might have the valuation of that property might grow over time. Well, I would say it should. But if you buy like a brick of gold, like that's not going to produce income. Like if you sell it, yeah, it will at a gain, obviously. But if you're playing the commercial game with them, every time they run a commercial, gold's going up in price, they want you to buy it from them. Mm. Now, when gold goes down in price, they're running a different commercial with the same phone number saying, we'll buy your gold so you don't, keep losing money. So the thing is, you got to understand the framework of this. Like Warren Buffett doesn't sit there and buy bricks and bricks of gold because they're not income producing. There's no dividend there's no interest off of gold. So ideally, we want to look at what are we trying to do with your portfolio, how we're trying to make it work and breathe to produce what you need, but also that satisfies your risk tolerance as well.
That Warren Buffett guy, I say he knows a thing or two about investing. And the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they know a thing or two about making sure that your retirement is as fruitful as you want it to be as well. All it takes to get started, picking up the phone, giving a call, and scheduling a time to speak with them. 366-8366, when you talk about diversification, using things like dividend-paying stocks and, using real estate if you've got that, or just a myriad of things beyond just your black and white 401k or just money tied to the stock market. Figure out how it all works for you. 866-8366. John, a retirement saver, wrote into an advice column at MarketWatch and said, quote, I really need help. I have $580,000 in retirement savings, but I can't find a financial advisor because the ones I spoke with want clients that are richer than me. What should I do? John, what are your thoughts on this? Is $580,000 not enough to have a retirement plan, or what do you think?
Yeah, look, ideally, and see, so what happens is some offices there, they have a certain amount of bandwidth and they have been acquiring clients that have larger dollar values than that. So sometimes, you know, that happens. And look, we even have a cutoff at some point. So the thing is, you know, we have to look at, you know, what are the right vehicles? Now, unfortunately, like I talked to someone this week. They came in, they actually talked to me in 2019. You know, they were looking for a new advisor, but moving away from someone that they knew they'd been using for a long time and they trusted, but they were like, you know, there's some people out there that are looking for all the credentials, like a CLFU, blah, 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 all these different names, all these different little abbreviations behind your last name. Well, at the end of the day, that doesn't mean a whole lot because like these people called in 2019, they wanted someone that had, you know, all kind of credentials. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I don't have, you know, I don't have all these things, but I understand a lot of stuff. Anyway, so fast forward, you know, to this year, they came in the office. And so we were talking and they're in the process of selling their business. You know, they heard about, we do advanced tax planning for business owners and we help consult people whenever they're looking at moving over, selling their actual business itself. And then, but the thing is the strategy on lessening the impact on the taxes they have to pay. So in their event, they're going to sell their business. They're going to get a seven-figure valuation. They have a seven-figure valuation on it, so seven-figure selling price. So that's north of $500,000 that they're going to pay in taxes normally. Hmm. Well, we can set up a specialized trust, then move those assets from you know the buyer itself paying the trust. That then what happens is you don't pay the 20% long-term capital gain, the 3.8 Medicare tax, net investment income tax, or the state tax of 4.25%. So that's 28.05%. They get the save right there, selling their business and moving over. Because that was the biggest thing. It's like, okay, you make the sale, then you're like, you know, au revoir to over $500,000. That's a hit. And so a lot of people stay in business because they're not ready to pay that, you know, that tax bill yet. But what happens is in 2026, the high band on the long-term capital gains goes from 20 to 25. So that's, you know, that's a good bit. That's a lot of money at the end of the day. Now, look, if you live in California or some other higher tax states, you know, you're looking at a significant amount of taxes you're paying because of the long-term capital gains tax. And like California, it's pretty high. But ideally what happened is, you know, they came over because they needed some advanced planning. And then we, you know, we talked about their business and how much they pay in taxes a year. So working on building a plan for them, doing an assessment. And with that assessment, we're going to show them all the tools and strategies that they can use and implement and lower their tax bill. And they decide, look, you want to put us on retainer, then we can take the next step. But then I was like, well, what about your personal investments? I mean, are you contributing to a Roth every year? Are you contributing to some kind of plan through work that allows you to max out contributions? Answer was no. And I'm like, why not? I'm like, well, nobody told us to. And I'm like, wait, you called me years ago and you were needing credentials and I haven't even done anything yet with this stuff? Like, who are you talking to? And so they rolled over their money to a referral from a friend about these investments that touted. And all it was just some bogus income annuities that didn't even make them any money yet. And they would actually cost them money, so they were underwater. And I'm like, you took a dividend of $400,000 from your business to put it in here, so you paid – you know, a pretty high effective tax rate, taking that money out and you're putting in this thing and you haven't even made money in the last 4 years. That doesn't make any sense. You know, but the thing is they didn't, you know, it's having an understanding and a framework. Then we had to figure out, okay, why were they paying fees? They brought me page one of the statement. So it didn't show anything about an enhanced death benefit, didn't show anything about guaranteed, you know, it showed some stuff about income. But we found out and I figured what it was and then we called the company and I was right on the money. That they were paying a fee on an index strategy that wasn't even making them any money. Hmm. So the thing is that, you know, they see, okay, well, you know, whenever you're cutting, you know, whenever you're cooking a pig, you know, you have the tail and you have the snout. You know, you're eating everything between those two. You're not eating the pig and the snout. So sometimes you might be focused on what's in front of their name and what's behind their name. And really, there's no substance to that. It's What are they doing for you? What is the strategy at hand? How are they setting this up? What's the holistic point of view? Are they looking at taxes as a foundation? What are they doing about your future income? Where are they placing your assets to see a good growth rate but a low tax rate or no tax rate? What about healthcare planning in the future? What about long-term care planning in the event you go into a home or you need in-home assisted living or you're actually needing in-home care? So we have to look at all these things. What about estate planning? What about setting up a trust? You know, how are you going to protect your assets? What about charitable giving? So we got to look at all these things. You don't have to find someone or think you have to find someone that has a whole bunch of little acronyms behind their name or something before their name to build a plan. It's all about finding someone that has the tools, the strategy, and a point of view that looks at all the different aspects instead of someone that's just trying to sell you a product. And we see that a lot is where someone will get a whole bunch of designations to give them credibility. So whenever they say, well, I am this, so I say you should get that. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess because they have all these designations, I should believe them. No, that doesn't give the authority to be able to do that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, I see it a lot. I'm not saying everybody does that, but I do see it a lot. And so it's all about what's the big picture, what's the plan, what's the strategy. It's not just focusing on a product.
You know, and that's what it's all about. What is going to work best for you as opposed to, you know, a cookie cutter approach or something that is where people are talking above you and not necessarily or talking down to you rather than talking with you, talking through the process with you. That is what you get with the team at Matthew James Tax Wealth Management, explaining the process along the way. You know, whether you have, a six-figure save towards retirement or, you know, considerably more than that, a couple extra commas in there perhaps. It's the importance of having someone on your side to guide you through the process. John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist, he can help you with that. Pick up the phone, schedule a time to speak with him and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, 366-8366, or the website is matthewjames.com. Inflation continues its stubborn trek downward, and that is testing Wall Street's patience when it comes to interest rates. They want the Fed to begin cutting them now. I think we all kind of do, honestly. But Georgetown University economist Paul McCauley tells CNBC, investors, they shouldn't listen to the market.
It's going to be difficult to get from 3% to 2% on inflation, called the last mile. I don't think it's a huge problem for the economy, but it is a problem for those who are all dressed up for a big easing party this year. So I think the bottom line is the Fed's dot plot from December, which penciled in 3 cuts this year, is looking pretty good. And I think the marketplace needs to quit fighting the Fed and essentially get in line.
So, John, here comes a question that we've heard before and I've asked before, I'm sure. What's the best place right now to put someone's money?
Yeah, I mean, look, ideally, we're just using a lot of money market accounts because they're liquid. You know, what's the point of tying up money in a CD for 6, 9, 12 or more months whenever the money market accounts are liquid and paying the same thing? So the thing is, what we want to look at is to be able to pivot. And so in the event, okay, hey, look, it's we can go get a better yield elsewhere, or maybe look, hey, let's say we have a market crash in a short period of time. Like, look at what happened in 2020. You know, that drawdown over that, 25, 28-day period. You know, so if let's say if you were long on a CD for 6 months and you took all your money and put it there, but then you couldn't exit it out without a penalty to allow you to buy in on the dip and ride it up, you bought it back at a higher, you know, price point, even though you could have, you know, you probably made money the next 5, 6, 8, 10 months or whatever. But the thing is what about being able to be more aggressive and you're able to pivot a lot faster? So we want to make sure there's a lot of liquidity in the event whenever we're looking at moving something that's paying a good yield right now, even though, you know, the Feds are looking at lowering the rates. But ideally, let's go ahead and take advantage of the opportunities that we have now.
You got to figure out what is going to work best for you. And it's not a set and forget it thing. Think of investments that held strong 20 years ago and not necessarily maybe even cracking, the top 10 stocks that are around these days. Finding what's going to work best for you is going to be an ever-changing thing. So you don't want a plan that is set in stone. You don't want that cookie-cutter approach we keep talking about. So if your current financial professional has not really been talking to you in the past couple of years, has been hard to get in touch with, or has gone with that wait-and-see approach, why not see what else is out there? That is the power of that second opinion. See what a team like Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management can do for you. Schedule that time, 366-8366. That's 366-8366. And online at matthewjames.com. KPL96.com. This is the Retirement Roo here on KPL96.5. Don't forget, you can catch John on TV throughout the week. You can catch more of him here on the Retirement Roo right after this. John, I recently saw a checklist of things that people should do 5 years before retirement, kind of that start of that retirement red zone. It was basically know what's coming in, know what's going out, and have a plan for taxes and health care. Seems pretty simple, but seems like a lot of moving parts there. Is that understanding the process? Is there anything missing from that list?
Well, what we want to do is organize your assets and have an understanding of your goals and what you want to do. Typically, in the very beginning of your retirement, you're going to spend more money on travel. There's a lot of bucket list trips that you want to get out the way, or maybe there's things that you also – maybe there's also things that you want to do to your home, mm-hmm. or you might want to buy an RV. Or you know, there's a lot of things that are in people's bucket list. A lot of people have different goals and dreams and ambitions as far as the things that they want to do. So ideally what we want to do is organize your assets and put those in different buckets. So money that we have allocated to what we call a now bucket. So that is money that we need to use for income for the next 12 months. That's money that we're going to earmark for emergency fund purposes. So in the event, let's say later this year we have, you know, heaven forbid, a hurricane and you have roof damage. Mm-hmm. Well, now you have money for the deductible. Let's say your AC goes out. We have money for that. Let's say your transmission goes out in your car. You know, you have money for that. Let's say there's an oh no moment with a family member and they need some financial help. You know, there's money there. The other thing is other planned, the planned expenses, the trips. Maybe you have a daughter that's getting married. Maybe you're helping out with a kid's college tuition. So we have to look at maybe you plan on buying a new vehicle. So earmarking those dollars. You know, I have a buddy of mine that's 62. He just bought a jet ski. So he wants to pay cash for the jet ski, earmarking money for the jet ski. Then we have to look at the money that we're going to use to provide them income in that first major phase of retirement. You know, but we have to look at when are they going to take social if they're eligible for it or if they have a pension. Or maybe they're getting both. So how are they going to structure that income? When's the ideal time, you know, to take it? And so when it comes down to looking at Social Security, we have to look at multiple factors. I mean, there's so many different ways of claiming it. But ideally, we have to look, okay, you married, you're single. What kind of income will your spouse get if you start taking Social? Should you delay it? What about doing tax mitigation planning? So moving assets over from your traditional IRA to your Roth. We have to look at all these things, making sure that we have a strong survivor benefit as well. So we have to look at that. And then from there, we look at their portfolio and figure out, okay, how can we extract money from this portfolio and to get taxed at least and still get hit their financial, their number, the amount of income that they want. But we also got to look at how we're going to do that while shifting assets over from potentially from tax deferred accounts to tax free accounts while we have the Trump tax cuts and even using advanced investment strategies to give them a tax break as well. So we're looking at all these different things and we got to figure out, you know, we got to cover taxes. We have to cover their healthcare costs. You know, okay, what if you retire before the age of 65? How are you going to, you know, how are you paying for healthcare? You know, are you going to go to the exchange? Can you keep low enough money to get a big subsidy to where you basically pay nothing or very minimal dollar value? We have to look at down the road. Let's say when you're in your late 70s and 80s or even 90s, in the event you have, let's say you or your spouse have dementia. And, you know, I have talked to one of our clients. They had to put their mom, put them in assisted living because she couldn't physically take care of it anymore. It was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of work, and she had a career, and she's still young. She has a lot of things that she wants to do. Just so how to finance those things? They say 75% of Americans above the age of 65 go into one. So how are you going to finance that? So when you're looking at paying someone to come to your house, let's say for you, or maybe for your spouse, or maybe for both of y'all, what if you have 24-hour care? What if you have 10-hour care on a daily basis, and you have, you know, 5 to 6 hours each day of the weekend? You know, that's 75 grand. And that's if you only have one person, you know? And so we have to look at how to plan for it. But if it doesn't happen, you still have your money. So ideally, we just have to look at earmark assets for all these different things to making sure that we know, like, okay, how much you're spending in retirement, what are your guaranteed sources of income, where are we going to get the supplemental income from, how we can lower the tax impact, how we can take care of making sure that we're keeping your healthcare costs as low as possible. And then making sure that we're protecting your assets in the event you pass away. Your maybe the surviving spouse isn't going to get hit with the widow tax. We have to look at how, you know, in the event when both are gone, then those assets transfer to the next generation. How does that become tax efficient? So we're looking at all these different things, all these different strategies that could be used to, you know, keep everything kosher the way you want it. Low tax environment, low risk. The highest, you know, substantially decent or high amount of income without taking substantial risk and transferring to the next generation tax efficiently.
Just by listening to the show today, you're showing that you're taking your retirement more seriously. The next step, of course, is actually picking up the phone, scheduling time to speak with someone like John Blanchard, like Acadiana's retirement strategist, and start putting that plan together for you and your circumstances. That phone number, 366-8366. Or online at MatthewJames.com. We're just a couple weeks away from the start of March Madness. The NCAA tournament seizes the attention of college basketball fans this time of year with lots of brackets, hours of watching games. But, you know, there is another kind of madness around this time of year, and that is tax madness, which is looking at the tax brackets and poring over receipts and tax software for hours. Let's talk about why it's so important for a financial plan and a tax plan to go together, John.
People are most focused on the amount of money that you make, but you got to look at the amount of money that you keep. You know, that's like whenever you're in your earning careers, making a lot of money, but then you're spending a lot on, you know, eating out and doing all these things, and there's nothing left to show for it. So we got to look at whenever you're receiving income from your investments, how do those dollars get taxed? So ideally, having a tax plan that's looking at the way you're distributing your assets, you know, when you're taking distributions and where you're realizing growth and dividends and capital gains and all this other stuff, how does that stuff get taxed? How does those dollars get taxed? So ideally, we want to have a good framework of understanding of, you know, having a plan in general of understanding what bracket you're in, how your money's invested, because not every dollar is taxed the same. So we want to look at this and making sure that we're putting ourselves in a position to where you can lower the tax rate that you're paying on the dollars that you're receiving and creating more tax efficiency and shifting over assets, because we're looking at, we have over $34 trillion in national debt. We have the unfunded liabilities of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security on top of the national debt. And so, like, this is a big strain on the government. So we have to look at all the different areas they want to try to tax us. I mean, look at, like, okay, so we talked a couple weeks ago about the Dodgers, the guy from Japan that signed that Dodgers contract for $700 million, mm-hmm. and the fact that he's deferring $68 million a year, because in year 11, he after his contract's done, he can move out of California. But he is a California politician. He is furious because he sees there's roughly about $98 million that California is not going to collect
yeah.
in taxes because he's deferring $68 million. He believes that they should have that money. So he wants to try to pass a bill that says, okay, if this particular athlete moves out of state, California's following to try to keep receiving the state income tax on that money. I mean, that's like what they talked about doing a couple of years ago when all these, you know, substantially wealthy millionaires and billionaires would exit California. Oh, we're going to tax you for the next 10 years. All you're doing is showing your colors on how desperate you are to receive tax revenue because of all the different things that you're doing and the way you're running your state. So, like, if you listen to Mr. Wonderful, what's his name? Kevin O'Leary. Mm-hmm. So Kevin O'Leary has been talking about how California is such a bad state to do business in. The same thing as New York and even like New Jersey. So, you know, you got to look at, they created an environment. Now they're desperate for revenue. And then the things that they're doing is, I mean, such like I look at as unconstitutional moves. And it shows just their desperation of what they're doing. But you have to look at, okay, most people that are in office cannot run a hot dog cart in Manhattan, and they're running the government. And so the thing is, we're seeing what they're doing, and we have to look at how is our dollar going to get taxed, how we need to use advanced strategies to lower our tax impact, shift our assets over to tax-free investments such as a Roth, and where we can preserve that wealth-building strategy and that future income from being taxed at all.
Again, because it's not just about what you make, you know, and what you have saved towards retirement. It's what you get to keep, being aware of the taxes and knowing that those will almost certainly change, and that almost certainly at the detriment of the investor if they don't have a proper tax plan in place. It all goes together. That is what you get with the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. It's not tax or wealth management. It's both of them because they're both equally important, especially when it comes to your retirement. 366-8366 is the number how you can get them on your side to begin that planning process. 366-8366. You can go to the website as well, find out more about the team, and schedule a time to speak with them at MatthewJames.com. A new study from Schwab says bringing in a financial advisor to help with retirement can nearly double the amount you save. Another study found that after meeting with an advisor, the monthly savings rate increased by about 5 times. Obviously, saving money is a big part of the battle. What are other advantages when it comes to getting financial help, John?
Well, ideally, it's looking at, okay, if in the event, let's say if you have a mortgage still, or you have credit card debt, or you still have a car loan or student loans, you know, how to pay that off efficiently, how to cut down time and interest, you know, even having an understanding of your spending habits. You know, when I would do budgets for people like beyond 6 years ago, you know, like the first phase of my one of the services that I provide is helping people figure out where their money's going. You know, whenever you have a household that brings in, let's say, 80, 150 a year, but then there's no money left in their checkbook after they pay all their bills, you know, that's a problem. So what we want to do is set themselves up to where they're not in the negative, they're not in the red, and where they can eventually have a calm in their checkbook after they pay their bills. But we also have to look at their spending habits. You know, when I would ask people, okay, how much money are you spending eating out? Now, whenever I would run into couples, or I'd help couples that lived in rural areas, their expenditure on eating out and fast food is almost nothing. But when people that live in the city or close to the city, you know, I'd ask the same, you know, a household that lived out there, okay, how much money do you think you're spending eating out a month? $300-$400. But I already ran the numbers because they, you know, those at that point in time, what I would do is I would get 3 months worth of your checking account statements and credit card statements on non-holiday months and look at that, you know, look at the spent money spent over that time period. If you look at a three-month average, rolling three-month average, and they're telling me $300, maybe $400 a month eating out when I find out they're spending about $1,400. That's a big discrepancy there.
Yeah.
And so they're wondering where their money's going. And so now you're seeing a lot of households because of inflation, you know, paying for fast food on a credit card. You know, you've already digested the food before you even got the bill for it, and you're paying interest on it, probably at a 29% rate. So we have to, you know, figure, okay, where's that money going? Bring that money back in the house, reprioritize, look at maybe unnecessary, you know, expenses. Even people that are business owners, they're paying for services, they're not even using it. You know, sometimes I have to go through like, okay, am I using this particular technology? Nope. Get rid of it.
Yep.
You know, saving me thousands of dollars a year. So the thing is, I have to do it as well. But then from there, you can reappropriate your asset to maybe pay off a debt faster. Then, or maybe, you know, at first I would say, let's make sure you have enough money in your emergency fund, then start paying off some debt, then, you know, pay off the house quicker. Then from there, you can, at the same time, you can earmark some money. Let's make sure you're making contributions, getting your match on your 401k. You're maxing out your Roth every year, maxing out your Roth for your spouse if you're married, taking care of a 529 plan. Like if you have kids, we got to look at all these different things to making sure you're earmarking your assets to put it in the right place. So it's you know, saving money is one thing, but we have to look at all of it, all the advantages that you can take. You know, you can make your money work for you while you're sleeping. So you don't want to be in a constant debt cycle, especially if it's revolving debt. You want to be debt free, but how to be debt free smart. You know, Dave Ramsey's a big push to like pay off everything and then you can start investing. I mean, why pay off a house note that you're paying 2.5% on, let's say 3%, when you could be putting your money, like, I mean, you could put your money in an account, and let's say you get a 6 or 7% yield on an annual basis, then you could pay the house note from that and keep the difference as a gain and let that, you know, grow and compound. So, I mean, there's a happy medium. I understand the you know, for a lot of Americans, maybe they should be paying off all their debt first, but they have to be more responsible, more financially responsible. But you also want to, you know, be like Warren Buffett, and you want your money to work for you while you're sleeping, mm-hmm. So you never have to work for money. So ideally, it's all about having a plan and a strategy that encompasses everything to make sure that you have a better future.
Obviously, being as debt-free as possible going into retirement is great. The less money you have, you know, going out to the bank or to a credit card company or whatever, is more money you get to keep for yourself. But it is a bit more nuanced to that than just that black and white advice. Figuring that out, there's a lot of nuance when it comes to your retirement plan. Figure out what is going to work best for you. Once again, you don't want that cookie cutter black and white approach. You want something that is detailed specifically for you. That is what the team at Matthew James Tax of Wealth Management can help you with. And to get started, to begin that process, that planning process, 366-8366, or go into the website, which is MatthewJames.com. Charles Barkley first signed a big endorsement deal with Nike back in 1992, and he tells the Steam Room podcast that Michael Jordan taught him a valuable lesson at the time.
And Michael gave me some great advice one time. He says, "Hey, man, why you need all that money?" I said, "Dude, what you talking about?" He says, "I was looking at your contract. You're making about $3 million. Tell Nike you want $1 million and you want the rest in stock options." And I said, "Okay, I'll run it by my guys." I says, "This dude's the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. Let's do it." I actually made probably 10 times the amount of money, and I'm still with Nike to this day.
You could say that Jordan assessed Barkley's risk tolerance at the time. How do you do the same in a retirement portfolio? What is the importance of knowing someone's risk tolerance?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, we just have to look at the long-term point of view on what they're doing. So, you know, whenever you're 30, you have a different risk tolerance than someone that's 65. So, you know, we have to look at that. I mean, some people are looking at, man, the market's at an all-time high. I really want to make these high returns. I mean, when you look at where it's at, you know, where the same pricing levels, the same standard deviation, the same level of risk that we were at the end of, or the very beginning of 2000, the end of 1999. Yeah, that time period was great, but when you're buying in on the peak, you have to have an understanding of the framework of, you know, long term. Like, okay, like look at history. I mean, do I know when it's going to go down? I have no clue. But ideally, we have to understand pricing. Like Warren Buffett's not dumping a bunch of money in overpriced stocks right now. So why should you? What do you know better than them? You know, I had a couple that came into the office during the week. They were like, "Man, we want to make more returns. You know, we've been playing it too, a little too safe on some of our money." Well, let's look at the charts. Okay, that looks great. Now look at what happened after that time period on the last go around. Are you okay with accepting that? Well, no. Well, let's stay course. You know, it's sometimes they need someone to talk to talk them out of things that, you know, you start to get greedy and think, okay, I want this, but then next thing you know, you get, you know, it's, you know, you can say things until you get punched in the face or punched in the throat, whatever Mike Tyson says. But ideally, you know, the last thing you want to see is your IRA or any of your investments to drop a significant amount because you got greedy too late in the game. Mm-hmm. And then you're seeing a significant drop in the valuation of your portfolio. So ideally, it's a matter of a big picture strategy, understanding your risk tolerance, your age. You know, you like whenever you look at linemen, you don't see 70-year-old linemen or guys putting up cell phone towers that are 70 years old. They might be the manager, you know, calling all the shots, but they're not the one climbing, you know, up the metal. No, they have people in their 20s and 30s, and you know, up there climbing to the top because if they fall, you know, they have more time to recover, where someone that's 70, they don't have time to recover. No. So taking a higher risk at a later part of your lifespan, you know, on all of your money is a big problem. Now, if you're taking what I call, you know, if you have your Cypress Bayou allocation, and like I say this a lot, but I have no affiliation with them, but like your Cypress Bayou allocation or casino allocation, whatever you want to call it. But if you bring that money there and you lose it and you go back home and tell your spouse if you're married – and they don't flinch, that's okay. But if you take your whole portfolio and invest it, try to invest it or gamble it away, and you lose it all, what happens? It's not divorce, it's death.
Yeah.
You know? So the thing is that we have to play it smart. Don't get greedy, you know, or don't get typed up on this water cooler talk. It's all about having a sound strategy. What's the plan? You know, if you're looking for high growth, accept high risk. You know, and so that's the key thing is you got to look at what's your risk tolerance? What are you trying to do? You know, if you lose 20, 30, 40%, are you ready to go back to work to rebuild it? You know, people that were taking risk but before 2008 happened, look at their situation. They couldn't retire on time. They had to wait another decade, some of them, you know, for the portfolio to get back in value and all these other things. So, you know, have an understanding of where we are, you know, what has happened in history. And then what could potentially happen in the future? And what is a sound way to preserve your principal, but also to be nimble to move in the right direction when it's appropriate?
You know, we've referenced Warren Buffett a lot on this show. Here's a great quote from him. "You want to be fearful when others are being greedy and greedy when others are being fearful." Again, this is kind of a black and white advice, but it's a good framework to understanding risk tolerance, especially as it pertains to the markets. You know, when they're at all-time highs, maybe not the best time to get in there. But again, it is all a little bit more nuanced than that. The team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you better understand your risk tolerance and make sure that what you believe is your tolerance and how you're actually allocated, that those line up properly, because having any discrepancy there could make all the difference in your retirement. 366-8366 is the phone number. How you get started, developing that plan or reviewing a plan if you already have one. The power of a second opinion cannot be overstated. They'll be happy to help you with that. 366-8366 and online at MatthewJames.com. And as always, want to thank you for joining us, spending part of your day with us here on The Retirement Route with John Blanchard, Katie Annis, retirement strategist. Really do appreciate you taking the time. Hope you have a great week ahead of you. Hope you have a safe week ahead of you. John, as always, grateful for the time. I know you've got to run out of here, but before we wrap up, want to leave you with the final word.
Yeah, Chris, man, I appreciate it. We had a lot of good things that we went over on the show today. Hopefully you can use these tools and strategies and stories to help, you know, advance your retirement plan, your future income stream, your way of saving taxes. You know, so in the event you're a business owner, you want to look at reducing, you know, your tax liability if you're selling a business, highly appreciated real estate, or you're looking for a holistic plan, give our office a call. 337-366-8366. Be sure to check us out again next weekend right here on KPL 96.5 News Talk.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, license number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.